AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Check it out now. No doubt now. Yeah. Check it out now.
Thursday morning, November 12th, 2020. It's the Beating the Book podcast, Mega Pod for week number 10. Wow, week 10. National Football League. It's Gil Alexander. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, alongside Todd Wishnev, no longer from his mother's cork attic. What room is that, Todd?
It's the same room. It's just I did a background to trick you today.
Oh, see? He doesn't want me to say the cork attic part. And, of course, the consigliere to Derek Stevens, the VP of operations, one of the VPs here at Circus Sports, the great Mike Palm. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, Gil. You know, today is a significant day for the Megapod. People ask me, what is humanity all about? What is this life all about? What's the theme of it? And I always tell them, it's about sin and redemption. Well, today, the other member of our little mini Sanhedrin will have a chance to maybe get some redemption or at least apologize.
For?
Well, I don't want to give away who the guest is.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You're referring to the incident.
It's Todd's seminal moment on the Megapod so far.
Ladies and gentlemen, back on the show for the first time. I hadn't had him on a numbers game in a while, too, and it's all my mistake. It's my old friend Dr. Bob Stoll from Dr. Bob Sports at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter. Bob, how you doing for the second time today, man?
Getting tired of talking to you, Gil.
I know. Are you aware of the incident we're referring to from last year?
I have no idea.
Well, it's a matter of much debate, wasn't it, Mikey?
Much.
I kind of remember.
Yeah. Some people thought someone here was being impolite to you, and you immediately said, no, he wasn't being impolite.
I didn't think so at all.
Yeah. You were just being nice.
It was what we call propaganda. My good friend Mikey, being from Iowa, is someone who likes to, you know, indulge in a little propaganda and get his sycophants to go along with him. So we created an entire narrative that was completely nonsense. And Dr. Bob put a stop to the nonsense because Dr. Bob is a man of substance, not like certain people who eat popcorn and drink wine at the South Point.
All right.
Enough said.
There it is. There it is. Todd,
I don't say a word and he comes right after
That's
me.
Right. Can I say this? Because the Masters first round is going on as we're recording this. Eldrick Tiger Woods is two shots back.
If Tiger Woods wins, Circa closes on Monday.
It's over.
53-1. Oh, we get killed. We get killed.
Before the Tiger Blue Jay afternoon matinee.
We got the O's at the Rangers, and then we got 3,000 people coming for it.
And Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, is even par through 10, and he's been in the woods the entire round. So the fact that he's even and only five shots back to me is still also the story of the round. But anyway, football, week number 10. Mikey, before we get to our format with the three best bets, the teasers, the Survivor, and all that, Mishugas, 310 left in Survivor. The inaugural Survivor contest at Circuit started with 1390. Somehow, 310 survived this week. I was on the Steelers. That was just by the skin of my teeth, and everybody else who had the Steelers. And then, oh my God, the Patriots. 310, very resilient entrance.
It's incredible. You know, if Anthony Lynn could coach it all, it would probably be over at this point.
I mean,
he had a chance to knock out the Chiefs in week two. He had a chance to knock out the Buccaneers. People that chance to knock out the Saints. I mean, all those games that he blew those big leads in. But so we sit with 310. We still had another week where an entry wasn't placed.
Yes.
So all 9 weeks so far, somebody hasn't turned in. How about you're the guy that went 8-0 and you're one of the 330 or whatever left and you don't put the entry?
That's incredible.
But here's the question this week. 270 of the 310 have Green Bay left. How many people will choose Green Bay this week?
I asked that on a numbers game this morning. And Jason said two-thirds. And I said if it's two-thirds, it's an upset. I think it's more than that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, how many people know how to play game theory, or how many people take the game literally and just want to survive? And that's not to say I'm not going to play Green Bay, because I might end up with Green Bay. So maybe I'm playing it wrong, too. But if you're playing it right, and if you're playing it to win, you probably don't take Green Bay. You take somebody else and hope for a calamity.
It's an interesting week because you're just 10 days away from Thanksgiving, which will really be the seminal moment.
Yes.
Of.
So that's the thing about Circus Survivor. Last thing on this. Thanksgiving is the quirk. It's the 18th week. It's a week in and of itself, and it's Detroit, Houston. It's Washington, Dallas. It's Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Man, it's a prayer for everybody.
A lot of people have already used Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
I've used that. I've used Pittsburgh.
Of those other four teams, who would you select?
I don't know.
There's no obvious choice unless there's some injury news or COVID news or something comes out.
Who's going to play quarterback for either Dallas or Washington?
No idea.
And can you trust Detroit or Houston? Can you? Yeah, it's a prayer that day.
I do want to mention this.
Yes.
Because this was brought up on one of the other shows on the Visa Network.
Mm-hmm.
For Survivor Thanksgiving.
There are other shows on the Visa Network?
There's one before you.
Oh.
What is the deadline to get the pick in? We all know it's Saturday.
Yes, I was going to ask you this.
It's Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific. So I
Wednesday
want all of our listeners out there to know that are still in.
10 p.m. Pacific?
Pacific. So 1 a.m. Eastern Thursday morning.
Okay. That's a good answer to know. All right. Let's start with our best bets for week number 10 in the NFL. Bob, we usually start with a Thursday night game, actually. That's the way this works. Is your do you have any thoughts on Thursday night? And if you do, is it one of your three best bets, sir?
I do, and it is.
All right. What is it, and why?
Fire away. All right. I like Indianapolis. I released them to my clients earlier in the week when it was +1.5. It's now -1. I still like Indianapolis. Tennessee, my models had them overrated most of the season. The metrics aren't particularly good. They played the third easiest schedule in the league. They run the ball far too much to be an efficient offense, and that works sometimes because Derrick Henry can break off some big runs, and if you have explosive running plays, that's pretty good from an analytics standpoint. But if you do not have explosive running plays, you are wasting your time running the ball in the NFL, and the Colts do not give up explosive running plays. So I think it's a good matchup for the Colts in that sense. Also, Dory Jackson is not playing. He was activated, but he is not playing for the Titans. So the Colts should help the Colts out there. Darius Leonard is playing for the Colts. He's missed 2.5 games so far. He practiced this week, and he's ready to go. They're a top-5 defense, even though he's missed 2.5 games. He's one of their key players. So I just like the matchup here. Also, Tannehill might struggle. They target tight ends a lot. The Titans do, second most in the league. And the Colts only allow 5.2 yards per target to tight ends. And in the meantime, Xavier Rhodes, one of the top corners in the league, can shadow A.J. Brown, and I think the other Colts defensive backs can handle the rest of the Titans receivers. So I like the matchup, and my math model favors the Colts here.
And, Bob, I buried the headline because I did it on the radio side this morning, so I forgot to do it again here. Your record this year thus far in the NFL against the spread is?
30-13, 70%. Is that right? 30-13. It's 14-1 the last 3 weeks, and I was 16-12. So 30-13.
30
and 13. It ain't Bethany Porras, but it's pretty damn good. 30 and 13, and as Bob said on a numbers game on VSiN this morning, the sort of coin flip games have by and large gone your way, and that's how you get to 30 and 13. You're good, but you're also getting good fortune too.
Right. The last 2 weeks has been all blowouts. You've been getting the emails.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks were 9-1, and it's all 9 wins were easy. The week before that, I was 4-0 or 5-0. Yeah, 4-0. No, 5-0. And I think three of those were nail biters, you know, and I won all three of them. In general, I've been winning more close games than losing in the NFL, but I'd still be hitting, you know, 63-64% if I split the toss-up games. So it's just been a good year for the model, and I think we talked about it this morning. Adjusting for player injuries other than just quarterbacks, mostly the market just adjusts for quarterbacks and maybe a half point for McCaffrey or an elite wide receiver. But we just for everything, offensive linemen, edge rushers, cornerbacks. I mean, we adjust for every position, and I think that really gives us an edge.
Yeah, I brought that up this morning. Of all the things that I learned from you over the years, Bob, and by the way, if I may just say to you on this podcast, there was no better person to work with to have a school of handicapping than it was to work with you. And that was, I always thought that was your forte, was the ability, and this was more in a basketball contest than football, to properly assess the value of players in and players out. I always thought that was your best edge and stuff. And so that's why I asked that this morning. And at least part of your success this year, based on that does not surprise at all. Mikey, your first play. Oh, no, Thursday night. Do you have any thoughts Thursday night?
I have my third best bet.
Is your third best bet? Okay.
Is the under tonight.
Oh.
Under 48 in this game.
Oh.
And I agree.
Actually, we'll give you 48.5, Mike.
Oh, that's even better.
Court stenographer, Todd Wishnow.
Thank you for being a man of such integrity, Todd. I agree with Bob's analysis in that I think Tennessee's going to have a hard time running the football. And if Tennessee cannot run the football, Tannehill is much less effective as a strictly drop-back passer. I mean, his success is off the play action based on Derrick Henry's ability to run the football. At this stage in his career, I'm not the biggest Phillip Rivers fan, but I'm just not.
And so polite.
But the key to defending Rivers really is to get him off his spot and to make him move around. Tennessee hasn't had much of a pass rush. I think Rivers will be able to control the ball and control the clock tonight. And I have a hard time seeing this game getting to 49 or 50. I like Bob's play on that. I think this is a 21-17 type of a game, and I would lean Colts, but I like the under more. And so that'll be my third best bet.
And a lot of Derrick Henry.
Maybe the team total, Tennessee team total under then would be our combined play.
Yeah, absolutely,
that
Bob.
That would make sense. Yeah. Todd, any thoughts on Thursday night?
Two things. First of all, did you want me to update the records or no?
Yeah, please update the records. I'm so sorry. It's like I've never been here before.
Okay. The records are really improving. Gil is up to 14-12-1 after another nice week. Mikey up to 15-11-1 after another nice week. And I had a pretty good week too, and I'm up to 13-14. Gil and Mikey lost both their teasers to fall at 6-3 on teasers. I won my teaser to go to 7-2 on teasers. So that's your little update on that.
Teaser
We're doing
champ.
Very well.
Teaser
We're
leader.
Doing teasers. Now, as far as Thursday night goes, I would like to go with Bob too, but I'm not going to. The reason I'm not going to is not because I disagree with anything Bob says. I agree with it. I would love to bet on Indy tonight. I think it's the correct side. I won't do it because I went to a little meeting the other day called FPRA. It's called Phillip Rivers Anonymous. I will not bet on Phillip Rivers anymore. PRA, Phillip Rivers Anonymous.
What was the F?
And I messed up the
yeah.
F. It's PRA.
Like, yeah.
PRA. And it means we've all decided as a group not to bet on Phillip Rivers anymore due to the lack of your soul to be able to keep coming through when he screws you late. Now, if I wasn't in that meeting of Phillip Rivers Anonymous, I would like Indy because I think that Colts have trouble when they get a big pass rush against them. Me and you both had Baltimore last week, Gil, and I thought we were in trouble early. And then, of course, the fumble recovery for the touchdown turned the tables on the whole game. But I think it really shows that if Indy has a game where Phillip Rivers is going to be pressured, they have no chance because obviously he can't move. But if they have a situation where he can, you know, just sit there and pick people apart, like tonight, Tennessee's not very good defensively. You know, I like Indy too. But like I said, I won't bet on Phillip Rivers.
Todd, you summed up my thoughts on this game perfectly. Because if I had not attended that meeting, I don't know if you saw me in the back of the class. I don't like to show myself. I was in the back. But
it's anonymous. We're really not supposed to be talking about going.
Yeah, I would probably go to the Indianapolis side as well. But let me just talk about that Baltimore-Indianapolis game for a second. We've talked about this forever on a numbers game. I know you and I did on Wishnev Wednesdays last year. Key 4th-and-1 situation for the Colts in that game last week against Baltimore. They're down 21-10. There's 5:34 left in the game. It's 4th-and-1 at the Baltimore 16. Kick a field goal, they go down 8. Okay, they decide to go for it. 4th-and-1. What do we know about Phillip Rivers' teams? He does not sneak. He doesn't sneak. The defense never has to prepare for it. Pass play never has a chance. Typical Phillip Rivers. Typical. And that's such a key point in games where the defense doesn't have – it's a competitive advantage for them. I really believe that. You need a Zapruder film to find Phillip Rivers' sneaks. So I can't play this game.
No, Rivers has a better spread record than Tannehill this year. Just saying.
Well, there's that. Mikey, best bet. Bob, that was your number one best bet, right?
Oh, that was one of them. I just, are we ranking the best bets? Yeah, that was my number one.
That was his number one. All right, Mikey, you're number one.
I'm going to go back to – I'll go back to a team I've had the last 2 weeks. I lost with them 2 weeks ago, covered last week. I'm going to go back to the Baltimore Ravens playing against New England in the evening game on Sunday. Listen, New England could not stop the Jets running the football.
Wait, before you get into the discussion, what line are we giving him, Gil?
Baltimore is – that's an excellent question.
I think it's mostly seven.
Seven. Todd is not happy with that.
Sorry.
Well, it's not 7.5. So the New England had no ability to stop the Jets from running the football. And by all means, Adam Gase did a masterful job avoiding a win on Monday night in a game they really should have won.
He sure did.
But look how good Flacco looked because of the play action. They had to try to commit to the run. They were missing Gilmore. But here's the point. Baltimore is going to be – Baltimore plays well against bad teams. Baltimore is too fast on defense for New England to be able to sustain drives. It's not going to be like where Belichick could just control the whole clock in the fourth quarter and not let the Jets onto the field. That's not happening. Baltimore is going to be able to run the ball at will. And when they can run the ball, Lamar Jackson can be an effective play-action passer. I would lay up to 10.5 in this. I just don't think this game is going to be close. Baltimore will get to the lead, and when they play from the lead, they're a devastatingly good team. This is one of my better best bets of the year, Ravens minus 7.
Ravens minus 7. Way to stop while I was adjusting my mask. Ravens minus 7. That's all right. Okay. One of your favorite ones of the year, you said?
I really like this player.
Okay. I like it. Todd, number one.
You know, I'm with Mikey on this one. I like it a lot. It's one of my I would say it's my best bet, too. I'm going with Baltimore minus 7, too. I just think that Baltimore beats up on bad teams. New England is not a good team this year. If you have to struggle to beat the Jets, come on. I mean, who are we kidding? Have you watched this, the Denver game? Did you see how poorly they were offensively against Denver? They're just not a very offensively explosive football team. Cam Newton is not super accurate. Anyways, there's no one to throw to, even if he was accurate. You know, they give it to running backs that are not super exciting. They're just struggle offensively. I mean, sure, they could score against the Jets on 18-play drives, but how are you going to do that against Baltimore? I think they're going to get killed, and Baltimore loves to beat up on bad teams. So, you know, Belichick's going to pull out all the stops and everything, but I just like Baltimore minus 7. I mean, come on. This is a tale of totally different classes of teams.
The Jets thing the other night was very peculiar, wasn't it? There was a 4th-and-3 in the first half. I think it was 3-0 at the time. Don't hold me to that.
Yeah, they were down 3-0.
They were in plus territory.
40-yard line.
And they punted. And that was like, what are they doing? They're 0-8. And then late in that game when they're still up, Flacco with what amounted to a 4th-and-1 punt, excuse me, a first down punt, where he just threw the ball up in the air, gets picked. And then they had the 12 men on the field during a field goal. Okay. And then there was a 3rd and 20 for the Patriots where the Jets played off the receivers and they got 19. And you're like, they really trying to win this? And so for those of us in Survivor who were like rooting heavily against the people who had New England, that was a bitter pill to swallow. But it did make you wonder. And I'm no conspiracy theorist, but there was a lot of things that happened in that football game.
By the way, that was a great in-game opportunity. I hit the over in that game midway through the second quarter. Both teams were averaging 7.2 yards per play at the time. The game was supposed to be like lined 41 or 42 before the game. No one thought any points would be scored. So there was absolutely no correlation to the way the game was playing at 7.2 yards per play for each team and what the actual line was. It went easily over, even with drives that were like 11 minutes long. So, you know, guys, in-game, if you're not watching this in-game stuff, you know, you got to do it. It's there's so many opportunities.
My number one pick this week is the Cleveland Browns, -3 against the Texans. This was on Guessing Lines with Chrissy Andrews on Monday. This was the line that clearly jumped off the page to me and made the least sense of all. I guessed Cleveland -4.5, and I thought, if anything, I was going to be light. And he told me, he said, I like your line better. I see nothing but 2.5s and threes. And then you thought, well, maybe this is because Baker Mayfield is in the reserve COVID-19 list, and so it's some kind of strange, nebulous thing that's happening. Nope. Baker Mayfield is off that. He is eligible to play. He will play. And it's -3 with extra juice. That's the consensus, right? Right, Todd?
I see 3.5 and 1-3 -25. What do you see, Dr. Bob?
It's split. I think 3 -25 or 3.5 is a choice.
I think we need to give you 3.5 to be fair, Gil.
Oh, wait a minute. I see nothing but threes.
3 -25 is probably consensus.
3 -25 is consensus, Todd. That's how this works. You don't give me a -3.5 at -110.
Well, 3 -25 is almost 3.5, but okay.
It is.
Whatever.
But I'm just looking across the screen, and the consensus is -3, -20. Anyway, okay.
Fine. We'll give you a 3 -20.
All right. Are you gonna if this pick loses, Todd, are you gonna grade Gil as more than one loss because it's -125?
It's a great point. It's a great point, Mike. Maybe we should do that. Give him a quarter loss
there
if
you
he
go.
Loses.
Let's just have that for the rest of the year hanging on it if it doesn't. That'd be awesome. Houston's only wins this year, Jacksonville. And they have lost to everybody else. It's been a tough schedule, though. Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Tennessee, and Green Bay. So no real shame in all that. But they do get housed by most of those teams. Anyway, I'll just get back to the original. I'm going to just go with my first instinct. This line makes no sense to me. Cleveland is by far a better football team. Deshaun Watson came out this week and said if Will Fuller had been traded, it would have sent him into depression. I don't think that football team is right. They don't scare me. Jacksonville, Jake Luton in his first game as a pro went for over 300 yards against the Texans defense, and they needed to stave off a 2-point conversion to prevent overtime. Give me the Browns -3, extra juice. My number one pick. Bob, number two.
I'm going to go with Philadelphia. Now, the Eagles have been struggling all year, to say the least, and they struggled against the Giants when they played them in the Meadowlands. But Philadelphia is healthier now than they've been in a while. They get 4 skilled position players back this week. Not all of them back this week, but Miles Sanders is back, Jalen Reagor, and Dallas Goedert, the tight end, and Alshon Jeffrey. So they have more weapons for Carson Wentz. And I think he's been really struggling because he's been forcing a lot of throws, and I think there'll be more people open now with all these receivers back, plus Miles Sanders. So I think we're going to have a good matchup there. I mean, Giants have one good defensive back in James Bradbury, and he'll probably take Travis Fulgham, and that might be a toss-up, or he might shut him down. But now Wentz has other targets that he can go to, and the rest of the Giants' cornerbacks are combining to surrender 1.7 yards per cover snap, which, if you know anything about yards per cover snap, 1.66 is not good. It's very bad. So I think Philadelphia will definitely be better equipped this time around against the Giants defense. And they're going to put a lot of pressure on Daniel Jones, as usual. He's faced pressure league high 43% of the time. I don't see how anybody's going to block Fletcher Cox. I mean, their guards and centers are terrible, the Giants, speaking of. The right tackle, Fleming, ranks 49th out of 55 qualifying tackles in blocking efficiency, pass blocking efficiency, that is. And he'll have trouble with Brandon Graham, who has 7 sacks, which is 4th in the league. So I think they'll get, you know, Philadelphia will get a lot of pressure, and they'll have more options on offense. And I think when Philadelphia is healthy as they are now, I think they're a better than average team than the Giants.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
I think they still suck. I mean, they were outgained by 3 yards of play last week in their win against Washington. And they were +5 in turnovers and barely won the game. So I think it's a good opportunity. I think maybe that game gives us line value here. So I like Philly, -3.5.
League average cornerback.
Wait, do I get -3, -25? Look at that. I could play the Gill game here.
It's not a Gill game.
It is -3, -25.
By the way, Bob, average... average cornerback in terms of their targets allows what, about 60% completion rate?
Wide receivers, yeah, around there.
Okay.
Probably a little low. Well, yeah.
All right.
The yards per cover snap is 1.4, you know, something like that, 1.3, 1.4, and they're at 1.66. It's not good.
All right. Philadelphia, -3 extra juice. Number two for you, Mikey.
I like the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, do you?
The Buffalo Bills. Todd, what's the number that you have as consensus?
Buffalo Bills, I have, 1.5, 2, something like that.
I'd say 2, because I see some 2.5s, too.
Well, it's 2. Okay, yeah. I'll take the Bills +2. I like the spot that the Bills are in right now. I mean, we're starting to see the progression of Josh Allen here and an ability to run an offense that has some balance to it. I first sensed some issues with this Cardinals offense in that Monday night game against Dallas. This team just doesn't click on all cylinders. I don't know what's missing there. I don't know if it's the play calling. I don't know if it's Kyler Murray, but I don't know if it's a lack of talent at wide receiver. But this Cardinal offense should be more productive than it is, especially in terms of passing efficiency. I think the Bills are a team on the rise. You're getting the benefit of travel, even though it's not really a home field advantage. On a neutral field, Buffalo would be favored, I would think. And so I think you get the better team here, and you're getting a couple points. And I think this is a solid team. The defense has got a better head coach. I'll take the Bills.
That screams one of my teaser likes coming up. Mm-hmm. Screams. Mm-hmm. You think we can get Mina Kimes? Think we can get Mina Kimes on this show?
She would be great for the show.
Okay.
Whether you think she's great or not, she'd still be great for the show.
Great for the show.
Absolutely.
Can I just say something about Cliff Kingsbury just for a minute?
Because
he killed my over 34.5 in game and my Arizona last week. I don't know if you guys watched the absolute nonsense. 4th-and-1, it's 31 all, 6 or 7 minutes to go, and Kyler Murray has been unstoppable on these short yardage plays.
He was unstoppable.
And instead, They hand off to some other dude who can't even come close to getting a first down. Now Miami gets the ball, goes down, kicks a field goal, and now here comes Arizona back again, fourth and one again from the 31. And this time the dope decides to kick a field goal with less than 2 minutes to go. I don't understand why you would even kick a field goal. You're only tied and you give them a minute and a half to win the game anyways. It's a stupid decision in the first place. And then if you're going to go ahead and do it, maybe have a kicker who can make a 47-yarder and not come up short.
Well, maybe, short. Came up short. That's the crime, right?
How do you come up short in the NFL on a 47-yarder with beautiful field conditions? It's ridiculous. It could only happen to me. Thanks, Hashem.
Hashem does it again. Oh, Hashem, always getting Todd. By the way, just to be fair, it was a 49-yarder from Zane Gonzalez.
Okay, whatever. I don't care whether it was a 47-yarder.
Todd, I've made my pick, but I want to raise this parliamentary procedure point now that we're going down this path. Could I have taken instead no defensive or special teams touchdown in the Packers game minus 310? Would that have been allowed as a pick?
I'm pretty sure that's not allowed.
Okay. I'm just clarifying.
Like we do a contest on Primetime Action. We just do a golf draft where we each get five picks, and it can be in any market, outright, top 10, head-to-heads, whatever. And Kelly Bidlin went with top Canadian or something like that, top nationality, and he wedged his way into a victory that way. We're like, I don't think you could do that next time. That doesn't sound fair. So now that's all we're doing. Who are we? Where are we? Todd, you're number two.
So far, Mikey's given three picks. Me and you each have given one pick, and Bob's given two picks.
All right, number two from you, Toddy.
Okay, my second pick is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ooh. Boy, did that team look bad last week. I like good teams that got embarrassed the week before. If we noticed the Niners before they became a MASH unit, had a horrible game against Miami, came back and spanked New England, I believe, if that was the correct sequence. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, what's there to say? Somehow the Saints were getting pressure on Tom. He couldn't do anything. The whole game was just a throw it in the garbage kind of game. Are the Bucs really that bad? No, I don't think they are. Are they as great as everyone was making them into Super Bowl contenders? No, I don't think they're that great either. But you have to think that if they're going to get these players' attention and have a true, tremendous, focused game, it's after getting spanked on national television in Tom Brady's probably most embarrassing game as a pro. I would think, I can't even remember any other game where that happened to Tom Brady. So I got to think that everybody in the Buccaneer building is totally on board with making sure they have a big performance. The Carolina Panthers ain't nothing special. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to cover the 5.5, or what is that the number you have, Gil? 5.5 or 6?
I got, what do I got? Hold on, please. I got turned away here. My problem. I got it at 5. Hold on. 6. 6
okay,
consensus.
I'll take it at minus 6. I think the Buccaneers can handle this team. They played them earlier in the year and pretty much handled them easily. So I'm going to go with the Bucs because I got to feel like everybody's got to, just be totally coming back to focus because of that spanking.
Todd, you and I are oppo on this. My number two pick is the Carolina Panthers, plus 6. I don't see why I shouldn't take the 6 points at all here. Again, just a tribute to Dr. Bob here, if we want to talk yards per play in terms of offense. Carolina actually, and they will not have Christian McCaffrey here. McCaffrey will come back the following week, so they got a more optimistic diagnosis than they thought they would. But no Christian McCaffrey here. Carolina has lost every game that McCaffrey has played in, just coincidentally. But Carolina, 6 yards per play on offense. Tampa Bay, 5.5. Tampa Bay's defense, though, in yards per play is better, but not by an egregious margin, also by just over half a yard. And listen, Carolina probably could have beaten Kansas City last week. They had a field goal try at the end to try to do that. They probably should have beaten New Orleans, that is. But Teddy Bridgewater took a really bad sack in a late-game situation, and that forced another Joey Sly ridiculously long field goal attempt. I think the Panthers are a very solid football team. And if you're giving me 6 at home, that's kind of an auto play for me. That Tampa Bay thing on Sunday night, man, that was dreadful. And I get it. They're not going to be that bad every week. But there was a moment there where I actually felt sorry for Tom Brady. Like, they looked like some moribund team. I will take Carolina in the six and be very happy with that bet. And if Tampa Bay can beat me, tip of the cap. Number two for
you're me. Opposite.
You were oppo.
Wow.
We don't see that very often on this show.
Oh, you don't.
Dr. Bob. Bob Stoll. Pick number three, Bob.
You're going to see it again here, Gil. I like Tampa Bay, too.
Back and back.
Last week, as you know, Gil, I was on the Saints, and I thought they could put pressure on Tom Brady as they did the first time they played. And so far this season, Tom Brady has been, well, he's been pressured 32 times in two games against the Saints. That makes up 37% of his total times being pressured the entire season. Obviously, when Tom Brady's not pressured, he does business. Last week, part of the problem for Tampa Bay was that their starting left guard was out. Ali Marpet ranked second in the league in pass blocking efficiency at his position. He'll be back from his concussion this week. The backup guard was horrible, surrendered seven pressures last week, and you know, they're not going to have that issue this week. Carolina does not have much of a pass rush. And you don't want to go against Tom Terrific after a loss in his career. This includes his first year when he wasn't that good, although they did win the Super Bowl. Brady is 53-15 straight up off a loss, 46-22 against the spread, 2-0 this year with the Bucs off a loss. And if he's not laying seven or more off a loss, 36-10 against the spread in his career. And my math likes favors Tampa Bay by nine. So I like Tampa Bay as well.
How many of those Brady stats are with the Panthers?
They're not with the. He's not with the Panthers.
With the Bucks. Buccaneers? With the Bucks, rather.
No, they're 2-0 off a loss this year.
2-0 off a loss.
That's undefeated, Gil.
I'm gonna override that small sample size and say that I'm not gonna be swayed by that.
This is a Tom Brady sample size.
What's
this
that?
Is like Joe Montana, great off a loss with the Niners. Went to Kansas City. Great off a loss with Kansas City. Very analogous.
I'll meet you both back here in a week. We'll reconvene, and we'll talk about it. Okay? All right. Number three. You already had number three, Mike.
Yes.
You already had your three, which is
Colts
Baltimore.
Under. Yeah.
Colts under. Colts Baltimore Titans. Under.
Colts Titans.
Todd, number three. Colts Titans under.
48.5 tonight, yeah. Yes.
I'm really struggling here for a third. But I'm going to go with, you know what?
Go
I'm going to go Oppo Mikey. I'm going to go Oppo Mikey.
Oh, this is just
antagonistic. You're going to take the Cardinals?
I'm going to take Arizona minus the two. And,
I like this.
And I'll tell you why. You know, I think Arizona, like I said, should have won that game. They had this game in, you know, Tua played great. By the way, I was totally wrong, or I could be totally wrong about Tua. I didn't say he wasn't going to be great. I just said he didn't show anything against the Rams. But let me tell you something. That Miami Dolphins football team, and hit it, Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores has taken us to the playoffs. This team is for real. Tua is awesome. Miami Dolphins all the way. Okay, and we got that done.
I get to say hit it next time.
Gil, you can edit this, right?
That's the part. That's the
Bob,
only part where
loves the
that's
Miami
the only
Dolphins
part we're not editing. Bob, are you kidding?
Arizona should have won the football game, in my opinion. I think that, like, you know, already went through Cliff Kingsbury's idiocy on fourth down. This Kyler Murray fellow, he is unbelievably elusive.
He is
have
incredible.
You ever seen
he's incredible.
Anything like this? I mean, it looks like a video game. He gets out on the corner. You can't stop this guy.
I agree.
Todd, we've seen this already.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean we've never seen this?
I'm with Todd.
No, he's not Lamar Jackson.
I'm with Todd.
He's not Lamar Jackson.
What about Ricky? What about Ricky Foggy? How about that?
He's not Vince. What's the guy from Texas? He's not Vince who couldn't throw.
Vince Young.
Who's the guy on the Titans?
Vince Young?
He's not Vince Young.
Yeah, obscure
he's
character.
He can throw the football. And he can run the football. And he runs the football. These guys aren't even close to him. I've never seen an elusiveness like this guy has. It's incredible.
I'm with Todd on this. I think it's unlike – it's not – listen, take your running quarterbacks from way back. Steve Young, Lamar Jackson, of course, Russell Wilson, whoever it is.
Bobby Douglas.
Bobby Douglas, whoever comes into your mind.
Turner Gill.
Turner Gill, who my friends used to say, my buddies in D.C. used to say to me, his name was Gil Turner, but he hated the name Gil so much, he turned it around. I agree with you, Todd. I've never seen anything quite like this kid. It's like a water bug, man. You cannot find him.
It's unbelievable. And I don't know why on fourth down they didn't just run that read option every single time. It's unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable. So anyways, here's why I'm going to take Arizona. The Bills, to me, are coming along. I definitely agree with Mikey here. This is a team that can move the football. I don't like their defense, though. I'm not very impressed with their defense. Now you're asking them to go on the road after a gigantic performance against Seattle where they picked out the whipping stick. And by the way, that was one of my over picks last week. I didn't play it pregame. And after the first drive, they went right down and scored. It was then 61. And I said, screw it. Load the boat on over. It was such an easy over. Seattle is just incredible over team this year, as we said last week. But the Bills do not have a great defense. I think Kyler Murray is going to be able to move the ball on them. And, you know, coming off that huge win against Seattle, there could be a letdown here. Arizona coming off a disappointing game. They should have won the football game. You know, I get to go against Mikey. Is there anything more fun than that? Give me the Arizona Cardinals in the desert going down Joshua Allen.
Boston Bobby. What did you say? Bobby Douglas? Is that who you said, Bob?
Bobby Douglas, Chicago Bears, Bobby early Douglas. 70s. I'm old, Gil.
That's a little before my time. Bobby Douglas.
There was a guy named Evans. Wasn't there another Bobby quarterback Avellino. Named Evans for the Bears who also was like a running quarterback in the 70s?
Vince Evans was not a running quarterback.
He was sort of a running quarterback.
Not really. Yeah. Not really. Not really. Bob Avellini is who you were talking
Bob
about.
Bob Avellini was also
Bob
a quarterback.
Bob Avellini. Oh, my number three. I'm like you, Todd. I don't really know. After number two, it's sort of tough for me to come up with a number three. I'm just going to play the San Francisco 49ers depletion, and I'm going to go with the Saints, right? Like, that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, you're going with the Saints.
Yeah. I'm just going to act like what we saw with the Niners is what we're going to get from the Niners.
What number are you getting?
Well, you always got to get the best of the number. Nine.
Nine.
I'm going to lay the nine here because I just don't think San Francisco has bodies to do this. And they do have a turnstile at running back. It doesn't seem to matter who they plug in there. But I just think the loss of Kittle was massive in all kinds of ways on offense. That just takes a whole dimension out for them. Jordan Reed can't stay on a football field to save his life, even though he once had great promise. I don't think the Niners can last. As great as Kyle Shanahan is, I think Sean Payton can outdo him in this as well. By the way, I've been killing Taysom Hill and their inclusion of Taysom Hill into the offense time and time again this year. Man, Taysom Hill looked real good the other night in all kinds of ways, filling up a box score. I'll take New Orleans and I'll give up the nine. It's not something I like doing, but I just don't think San Francisco has waved the white flag. I think when they traded Quan Alexander too, I just think they're like, you know what? This isn't going to work out this year. And I'll ride that sentiment. I'll take the Saints for lack of a better other option. It'll be the Saints minus nine. All right. Silence from the crowd. All right. Let's do teasers of the week. Todd in the teaser lead. He's in the ATS.
In the teaser lead.
In the ATS. Seller.
7-2 in the teasers. You guys are both 6-3. So our teasers have been spot on this year. We have been absolutely pounding the teasers.
Now, the reason we all went from 6-1, me and Mike went from 6-1 to 6-3, is we didn't have Stanford Wong teaser legs available to us the last couple weeks. But now we do. We have plenty to choose from.
Wah, wah, wah. Okay. That's me being sad about your Stanford Wong teaser.
Okay, Todd.
So here's, do you want my teaser first?
I'd like Bob's teaser first. Thanks very much.
All right. I actually played a teaser early in the week, but it no longer qualifies. I played the Colts when they were +1.5 on Monday. I took the Colts with Seattle, talking about Wong teasers, +7.5 each. I'm still going to use Seattle. They're still +1.5 or two, so I can get them at +7.5. And I'm going to pair them with Chicago.
Ooh.
On Monday night, home dog, +8.5.
You've danced around and used all the Wong teaser legs that I didn't like as much. Todd?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Okay, I'm gonna take the Bucks down to just win the game. So Bucks pick them, and I'm gonna take the Baltimore Ravens -1.
Wow. Okay. I'm going with Buffalo and the Chargers. I'm taking the two small road dogs in their respective games, teasing them up through the 3 and the 7. Chargers have lost every single game this year by 7 points or fewer. I'll happily take them up to 8.5 or 8, whatever it is, and play them against the Dolphins. Dolphins have been aided by defensive touchdowns the last couple weeks. Unsustainable. That's what that is. Thanks, Mike.
By the way, there's another group you can go to. AL Anonymous is another one.
What's that?
That you might want to look
Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn Anonymous. Yeah, no, but I'll take
They lose close.
They lose close. I'll take the 8.
You've got to be close.
Aaron Schatz.
You mismanage a game late.
Yeah, Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders was on a numbers game last week. He said, guess who the team is with the most consistent performance week after week? It's the Chargers. But because they crap it out.
Your dream.
What's that?
They're the teaser dream.
Yeah, they're a teaser dream. Chargers are one leg. And then I'll take Buffalo. Mikey's one of Mikey's best bets. I'll tease Buffalo through the 3 and the 7. I don't think Arizona is a team that I expect to blow out Buffalo. I think at the very least Buffalo keeps it close. So Chargers and Buffalo.
I too had a dream, and I'm taking the Chargers +8.5. When they tell the Anthony Lynn story, I think the title of it should be, at least now you get draft picks. And then my other one is the Ravens, who I agree with Todd, tease them down to 1.
I don't hate that at all. By the way, I'm sorry to step out of line. It was your turn, not my turn.
There's no turns here.
I apologize. Okay, are we already? Oh, Survivor. Oh, I'm the only one alive. Bob, do you play Survivor at all?
Wait, who did you end up?
Yeah,
ended up
down last week.
I'm sorry, I was asking Bob a question. Todd, what?
Yeah, I got knocked out last week, and I'm forgetting who it was because it was so painful. I had it all set up. I'm in a loser's pool where you pick a loser each week.
Oh, that's right.
Can't pick them twice. Now I had it set up. I had it scheduled. So my last 2 weeks, and it's thousands of people in this thing. So you need to really plan for the end because it always goes down to the end. And I had the Jets and Giants the final 2 weeks as likely double-digit dogs, all set up, mapped out, and I lost. I forgot who it was. It was brutal. So anyway, I'm out. I forgot who it was, but I'm out of my losers pool.
All right, Todd. What was your point of clarification there, Todd?
No, I forgot that you had said before that you ended up, because last week you didn't tell us who you had, and then you ended up with Dallas.
Hey, look at
so
Pittsburgh.
You ended up
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Let's talk about that. If Gil gets down to the final 3 weeks and there's a handful, he can't be giving out his pick on Thursday.
We already said this last week. After Thanksgiving, I'm not giving him out
you
anymore.
Cannot. You can text us on Saturday afternoon or whatever, but puts you at a disadvantage.
Competitive disadvantage. They already know what I picked,
by the way,
too,
having
so.
That discussion right there just jinxed him. Good job, Mikey.
No, I'm not jinxing him. I hope Gil wins.
I got down to the final 10 in an 1,800-person pool a few years back, so I love Survivor. Green Bay is not the correct pick to make if you're trying to win this thing. You should probably pick someone else. But I have a feeling I'm going to end up picking Green Bay because that was on my grid. That was on my map that I made for the season.
And 5 in advance.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to end up taking Green Bay.
There's just not many other good options. That's who I had mapped out. I had Jacksonville mapped out.
If you had the Browns still available, would you use them this week?
No, okay. I would not have. Green Bay is the obvious pick this week. I kept them for this week, so more than likely I'm going to use them this week. All right, final two questions. Are we already there? Wow, brisk. This has been brisk.
Wow.
Not so much.
Todd showed deference this time around, so he's quicker.
Todd, what was the source of that?
Remember he said, well, Dr. Bob, and then he started going on about the models.
The goulash
model. Bullshit out modeling.
Asshole.
But I'm sure Dr. Bob agrees with me. Dr. Bob knows that numbers can get polluted with dirty numbers based on stupid drives in the fourth quarter or a million other different scenarios, and he cleans it up.
I take those out.
Yeah. Exactly. He cleans it up.
He understands that things need to be cleaned up.
I include them if it's like in college, for instance. I take out, let's say it's Clemson. I will take out their garbage time stats if they're playing a team like Notre Dame. And if they're playing a team they're favored by 28 or more, and I'll reinsert them. Because they're probably going to have garbage time.
Right.
Depends on the matchup.
Bob, the real affront last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, let Todd spin this.
The real affront was when the way he said doctor. Remember, he said, well, Dr. Bob. That's exactly how it was said, which shocked many.
Not a real doctor, so he had every right to say it like that.
As with everything with Todd, it's never the content. It's the vehicle with which he presents the content.
The tone.
Yes, the tone.
I was not offended.
We didn't like your tone. That's what it was.
I was not offended.
Look, Mike, I have a problem with people who, you know, get unearned titles. For instance, I know a guy who's a vice president of content management. Doesn't do a great job, but calls himself a vice president. I mean, give me a break.
I'll tell you what, Todd. I earned that Dr. Bob nickname. I was quite the basketball player, and I was nicknamed after Dr. J.
I grew up in a
minority neighborhood and quite the street game. And my last years in high school, I moved to a pretty much all white sort of neighborhood, and they nicknamed me Dr. Bob because I played like Dr. J, they thought.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Vallejo, in a suburb of the East Bay in the Bay Area.
The mean streets of Vallejo.
I was going to say Bensonhurst.
Tupac.
The mean streets of
Vallejo. I have a great story for you that is similar to that one. I had just moved to L.A. and I was out playing pickup basketball in my neighborhood with 9 black guys and me. And I was the last one picked. And I played really, really well. After a little while, they're like, get the ball to Larry Bird.
Okay. We done? Okay. We done here? Where's the shark?
We'll call you Larry starting next week.
All right.
I'm Dr. Bob and I earned it.
You guys done?
Todd wouldn't have survived in French Lick. I'll tell you that right now.
He would not have. All right, final two questions. First, the big favorite most likely to lose outright. Green Bay, 13.5. Well, let's call it 13-point favorites at home against Jacksonville. There's not many candidates here. New Orleans.
Pittsburgh, maybe you could say if the line goes back up, they'll probably be a big.
Yeah, let's call it Pittsburgh. I know where you're going with this, Bob. Pittsburgh north of 7 for sure at home if Big Ben gets to play here. We'll see if he's cleared from the COVID-19 reserve list. Needs a couple more negative tests. They would be north of a 7-point favorite home against Cincinnati. New Orleans, 9-point favorites home against San Francisco. Baltimore, 7-point favorites on the road against New England. Who's the most likely to lose outright? And I know the answer, Bob. I can guess your answer.
Well, I went against Pittsburgh last week as a best bet on Dallas, and that was an easy winner. And I've been on Cincinnati quite a few times this year for some winners. I think Cincinnati has a decent chance to beat Pittsburgh.
I think you're right. And I think Cincinnati would have been one of my best bets if we had a number here. Todd? Bad.
Biggest, I don't know. How do you pick? Who are the choices again?
Oh, my Saints? God. You're too busy.
Saints? Packers and Steelers, I guess. Are those the only choices?
Baltimore.
I guess I'll take the Bengals, too. I don't think they're going to beat the Steelers, but I guess I'll take them.
That's what I would take. Mike?
Can we use this the Tampa Bay game?
No.
Well, that's not one of the choices.
No, it's too low. Well, you would say Tampa Bay, though.
That's six, though.
Yeah, but
there's not many choices here this week.
It was teetering.
I would take if the Steelers are back up the Steelers.
I would do the same thing you would do. Yeah. I would take Tampa Bay if that was included, but I'll take the Steelers.
By the way, Dr. Bob, I got to tell you one other thing. I found out about you in 2006. I remember where I was. I remember there was like a gambling board, and this Dr. Bob guy kept – there was a whole controversy with this Dr. Bob guy. Dr. Bob, he's this awesome guy, blah, blah, blah. And I remember thinking when I was sitting there, it would be so fun to go work with this guy. At the time, I was doing really well selling life insurance. And then I meet my brother from another mother, Gil Alexander, years later, and he tells me he worked with Dr. Bob. Mother. What'd you say?
He's my brother from another mother, and I told him that.
That's right.
But stealing my brother now.
I didn't mean to steal.
Go ahead, Todd. I'm sorry.
I just thought it was so funny because me and Gil had such interesting, very similar experiences growing up. And then when I had heard of you, I was thinking, wow, this Dr. Bob would be a great guy to work with. And then I find out Gil ended up working with you. It was almost like some alter ego kind of weird deal.
I think
that he actually had worked with you.
I think I probably read the same thing you did about Bob at that time. And I knew from that Bob lived in San Francisco somewhere, too. So I was always, at that time, I was like, I wonder where he lives. Turns out he lived, like, right over the hill. Right over the hill.
But the restraining order worked.
I'm sorry, Dr. Bob. Go ahead.
He said the restraining order
worked, though. So I only saw Gil when I decided I wanted to see Gil.
That is a lot.
Todd, what was the controversy? You said there was a big controversy over Dr. Bob, this great guy, Dr. Bob. So how is that controversial?
I remember reading some like internet boards. This was like back in 2006, and there was this whole Dr. Bob was like killing it and releasing games on Thursdays in college, and the lines would move, and then people were all screaming, "Oh, Dr. Bob's not that great," and blah blah blah. Meanwhile, you were killing it and moving all the lines all over the place. And I just remember reading a whole. I don't even know what the controversy was.
The controversy was people thought it was like some Chinese syndicate or something like that moving all the lines. And at that time, the lines would move literally 2.5 to 3 points every single game. And I had a year, 2005, I hit 74% in college football. It was easy back then. That was the first few years that my model was, after I programmed the model that I was doing by hand for years, it was the first couple years after I had it programmed and automated, and it plugged it in, and that thing worked. I had 3 years of 65% winners in college football at a 3-year span.
Jeez.
That's how Fezzik won his college football competition. He used my picks.
Bob, didn't you have to go to a time you had to adjust your release on a timer? Didn't you have to like adjust because of that?
Yeah, I used to send them out on email at 10 o'clock on Thursdays every week. And some people get their emails at different times, and then they started complaining. By the time I get my email, the lines have moved. And I was like, oh, geez, what am I going to do here? So I had to set up a timer on my website with a countdown and release one play at a time. So people could count down to zero. They refresh the page. They bet the game. Then 3 minutes later, the timer would reset for 3 minutes, and then the next game would be released. And it became a big headache, honestly. I mean, people think, oh, it's great you move lines. And I'm like, no, it's a pain in the ass because I have to – it's a constraint that I have to deal with. Like, I have to have set up specific times to release games so my clients are ready for it, or I have to text 5 minutes in advance that a play's coming. I can't just release a play whenever I want, which is a constraint that I have to deal with because of it. So it's more of a curse than a blessing, I'll tell you that.
By the way, it just reminded me of Arizona State USC when he was talking about those college football games, because back in 2006, I had a crazy situation with them. And then, of course, I had the Yom Kippur Massacre. And then I don't know if you guys were watching USC Arizona State this week, but I ended up losing that one in another ridiculous fashion. Did you guys see what happened at the end of that game?
Yeah.
How Herm Edwards blew the game? It was unbelievable. There's something about that.
Because when you hit the first down and sit on it.
Yeah, and then, of course, they give up the onside kick. It was just like – it's just incredible. Herm Edwards is another guy. He plays to lose the game, like Anthony Lynn. He's like Anthony Lynn Jr.
Does recruit well, and he is a solid coach, not a great game manager. You are right. But I'd rather have him than a lot of guys who manage games better but can't recruit as well.
Final question, guys. We play in a bizarro world. We bet in a bizarro world, where we're forced to bet a side on every single game, but we're allowed one free pass. Again, 14 games in the NFL, including tonight's. You got to bet 13 of them. What's the game you want no part of? Now, there is no line currently for Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, for Washington, Detroit, and I'm not sure if Baltimore's back on the board either. Baltimore had a COVID positive tonight. But if you could pass on one game on the side, Bob, what's the game you want no part of?
Buffalo, Arizona. I just think these teams are pretty evenly matched. My model favors Arizona by 1.9. They'll spread two. Both teams are in like negative situations, letdown situations. Yeah, I don't want any part of that game. I think it's a complete toss-up.
You know that Bob and I hold the consecutive days record of eating Thai food in San Francisco?
Oh, I wish that was the case still.
Yeah, we have that record. Todd, what do you want no part of?
I don't want any part of Seattle LA Rams. I cannot understand who the LA Rams are, except for the fact they have a quarterback who's vastly overpaid. Who knows what's going to show up this week? Seattle has no defense, granted. But I don't know what you get with the Rams. Every week it's something different. So I'm off that game.
Yeah, I don't hate that pick.
I agree with Todd.
Yeah.
The Rams are a team you only can end game. You have to watch them play the first quarter and decide what Goff's mood is going to be and how his body language is and if he's looking down the field or if he's got his eyes glued to the ground. So I want no part of it. When is Carroll ever going to get his feet held to the fire for how bad this defense is? He's a defensive coach.
I talked to Lombardi about that yesterday because he's a Carroll guy.
Oh, he thinks Carroll's one of the all-time greats.
Oh, yeah. He's like, well, he gets credit for Legion of Boom. Why doesn't he not get credit for this? And I don't remember the answer. I don't remember the answer. I was off to the next one.
He said Carroll needs to get more involved in the defense because he can point to his trophy and the players will buy in where Nagy can't. The question was about Nagy, Carroll, and right?
Was he also, though, when he had guys like Chancellor and all those guys in the Legion of Boom, was he so close to his college years that he knew those guys were gems? And so it was like a Jimmy Johnson thing where he knew the better players, and then it's just sort of this one stretch of time.
It's a very interesting point.
I don't know.
By the way, is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer, according to you guys?
Oh, this question.
What about Warren Moon?
I would say Warren Moon, yes. Philip Rivers, no.
Dr. Bob, I love this Dr. Bob. Go, Dr. Bob.
Phillip Rivers.
Look at that background.
You can't put good, not great quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame because they've played for 17 or 18 years.
Yeah, this isn't Craig Biggio in baseball.
Eli Manning should not get in either for winning two games. Other than that, he was mediocre his entire career.
He's like the definition of mediocre, Eli Manning.
Oh, God. People are like, oh, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I'm like, what Hall of Fame are we talking about?
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame for people that throw interceptions? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, he's won one more Super Bowl than Trent Dilfer, one more Super Bowl than Mark Rippon, and no one's talking about them in a Hall of Fame. So, like, why would Eli just be on that?
So ridiculous.
He wasn't even a very good quarterback.
That's right. He's right down the middle.
Yes, he is.
Wins and losses. By the way, my pick, if anyone cares, was Seattle and the Rams. But I could.
We always agree on that. By the way,
we
always have the same game. We won't bet on.
I think Phillip Rivers is not like. I don't think you can apply the same rules to football that you can in baseball, right? So Craig Biggio gets in the Hall of Fame because he's just played long enough where he accumulates counting stats, and then people are like, "Oh, well, he had that many hits, so you're in." I don't think you can do that in football. So I would say no. But there's a lot of people who think yes.
Baseball is a numbers game in terms of the Hall of Fame.
It's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. How is Dan Hampton in the Hall of Fame? So many guys. How's Dan Dierdorf?
He wore his pants higher than any other player in the National Football League history.
All right.
Dr. Bob, do you analyze baseball as well?
No. I do not.
That was an answer.
I have left that to other people over the years. I might dig into it again, but if I do, I'd probably consult some people who handicap before I start programming it. So, no, but I don't see any reason to.
I did baseball for Bob. Some years were wildly awesome, and some years were wildly terrible. But by the end of the run, we had this thing where it's like, well, no, you just have to give the picks the day before. Well, the market had evolved. You couldn't do that anymore. There was no way. And you're still getting judged for your record from the night before. It's like, come on. You can't do that.
Today it's impossible. You don't even know what the openers and that. You have no idea what's
can't
going
do it.
On.
Yeah, no. That was
Bob, do you bet in-game?
No, I – well, on Saturdays is my only day off. So I don't do that. And on Sundays, I'm working on the next week's college football. I'm not really paying attention to what's going on in the games, except near the end of the games, I tune into the Red Zone channel. That's about it. But I've got too much work on Sundays working on college football for the next week. So
are you doing college basketball this year, Bob?
Yeah. I am. I'm going to spend less time on it because I put everything. There's a new model that we have that I work with. I have a database math guy who's is a young genius, and I've been working with him. We worked on the NFL model that we're currently using together, and he does all the nitty gritty behind the scenes player work on that, which is very helpful. And I work on college football mostly. And we worked on a college basketball model, which mostly was his doing. I injected the kind of things that I thought we should look at. And we have a model that we think is really, really good with really great priors, which is the key to a good college basketball model. We used 2004 to 2015 data and built the model as if we were entering the 2016 season. Then we ran it on the next 4 years, and it tested out over 56% on 1,500 games, which was much, much better than we expected. We were expecting 54.5%. And this was without adjusting for players or anything. It was just, here's what the model should be. And we ran it for the next 4 years, and it was on closing line. It was, yeah, we're going to release games in the morning, which I've done the last few years with success, is releasing college basketball games at 6:30 in the morning Pacific time, before the limits go up too much where the syndicates hit them. It tested way better than we thought. So I'm excited about it. So I will be working on it, but not doing all nighters 3 or 4 times a week, because now a lot of that stuff's automated. So I'm really excited about it.
That's become a big deal in college basketball. Alan Boston would rant on my show about that all the time. He's like, you can't, syndicates are coming in and just grabbing it all. It's a big source of big thorn in his side. He likes to say there's two sides to every story, but that was his opinion on that. So I know that that's a big deal.
Bob, in the college basketball, do you ever see, can I ask one other quick question?
Gil, sure. Go ahead.
In the college basketball, do you ever see situations like with Gonzaga last year where they just couldn't make the line high enough because in a sense they're breaking the numerical expectations because of the fact that they play so different? Like they could make Loyola Marymount even run. You know what I mean? Do you see that kind of thing where it like breaks the model with certain teams?
I did pretty well. Well, here's the thing with Gonzaga. Yeah, I get what you're saying, because you're going to, most models will regress their performance down a little bit. But I also know, for the model's sake, I don't think I would have been on Gonzaga that often. But I also did not go against them because I know as a favorite of 25 or more, whatever the number is for them, they cover the spread 70% of the time generally. So as big favorites, they usually crush. So if my math was against them or if my model was against Gonzaga as a big favorite, I just pass on it.
Right. I was talking about the totals actually, because the totals last year.
Totals, you know what?
It was ridiculous.
I don't really get into totals too much. We're going to, this model was built, sides and totals. It projects efficiencies, offensive and defensive going forward, but we didn't back test it on totals because I didn't have data going back that far. So we're going to do it on. Yeah, so I didn't really do totals last year either for that, for the same kind of reason.
Yeah, because Gonzaga last year, it was ridiculous. It was like Seattle this year in football or Tampa Bay last year in football. Right. It was just, it didn't matter what they made the number because Gonzaga was going to break the expectation.
Right. So if they're totaling 180 points a game, the odds makers are like, all right, 165 or 170, 175, 180, and it's just, there's still going to be 190 or 180 or whatever it is.
It's incredible. Like everybody's... It was incredible. Yeah. Anyways, that's super interesting stuff. But sorry, Gil, to you.
No. Always very interesting. Always interesting. I could have talked to Bob for hours about it, could talk for more. But we got to run. NFL week number 10. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Good to see your face, man.
Good to see you guys, and good luck this weekend.
Yes, sir. Good luck to everybody. A week 10 picks in the NFL. Fade or follow. We got a lot of oppos today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.